Greetings, saints. God bless you. Thank you for being with us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Father, we thank you for giving us wisdom, opening our understanding. And Lord, you've declared so much about great judgments that are coming, and you've confirmed these to us many, many times. Some things we're in the dark about, but we ask that you open our understanding and give us wisdom today in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I think I'm going to do part three of Escaping the Dragon. Or excuse me, I think it's part four. Yes, part four. All right. Escaping the Dragon. Revelation 12, verse 1. And a great sign was seen in heaven, a woman arrayed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she was with child. And she cried out, travailing in birth and in pain to be delivered. And there was seen another sign in heaven. Okay, we know about the first sign. It's all one star system type sign with stars as a crown and so on and so forth. But it says this is another sign. Another sign could be coming in a different way than the first, okay? And behold, a great red dragon, the red dragon from history, from the Egyptian and Celtic writings and others' writings, is a planet that comes in, having seven heads and 10 horns, and it has seven planets in the group, seven heads. And upon his head, seven diadems. Now, this could be a different kind of a sign than the first. Okay, and we suspect that it will be. And his tail draweth a third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. This is talking about a great falling away that's going to come at the time of this sign. And because the stars of heaven are Abraham's seed, right? Or as the stars of heaven, the Lord said. And the dragon standeth before the woman that is about to be delivered, that when she is delivered, he may devour her child. And she was delivered of a son, a man-child, who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. Of course, we know Revelation tells us that the overcomers are going to do this. Okay. And her child was caught up unto God and unto his throne, which is a place of dominion in the earth. And the woman fled into the wilderness, so the wilderness, of course, is the tribulation, according to Revelation 12 and according to Revelation 17. It's the first and second 3.5 years of the tribulation. Into the wilderness. So when this happens, the tribulation starts right afterwards. Where she hath a place prepared of God, that there may nourish her 1,260 days. Okay? Now, although the sign of Revelation 12 has come in the heavens many times in the past, it seems to be complete on September the 23rd, 2017, which is also where the Feast of the Seven Trumpets begins, representing the seven trumpet judgments of the tribulation. And this is proven because the woman immediately goes into the first 3.5 years of the tribulation in this text. And this September the 23rd sign can come on the happening that we just read there, Revelation 12, or slightly before the happening. But much evidence does suggest that it will be in 2017. Okay, if you looked up in the heavens and you saw this sign, it could be that it's coming to pass then, or it could be shortly afterwards. In the sign, the moon is under the feet of Virgo, the Virgin. The woman is clothed with the sun, S-U-N-S-O-N, at the time of this sign. Right, that's what it represents, is the S-O-N, putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our position in Christ. It's not that the woman has attained to that position, but that's her position, just like standing upon the moon is her position in Christ. Not that she's attained to it, but that's it. Saturn represents Satan in this star scenario. And Satan, of course, is the dragon, the old serpent, that is waiting at the woman's feet to devour her child as he is born. And the child is, of course, the man-child, as we've talked in the previous sections. Saturn is associated at this time with the old serpent, as is Ophiuchus and Serpens. These are 12 stars at Virgo, and it has 12 stars around her head, right? The constellation Leo, with 9 stars, is always at her head. However, at this time, Venus and Mars and Mercury are aligned with Regulus, making 12 stars around her head. This is the most complete one that we've ever seen. This sign has not been fulfilled in Virgo for the last 6,200 years, at the last person who checked it. And it will not be seen again for the next 1,200 years. And I'll put a video here. You can watch it. It'll give you that information. Well, this all appears to say that this is it. The beginning of the trib is about to happen. The coming of the man-child is about to happen. And the shaking of the dragon of planet Earth is about to happen. Okay. Well, if so, we will begin to feel even greater effects than we have already experienced in the increase in the size and frequency of earthquakes and volcanoes and tsunamis and solar eruptions and freak weather and crop failures and all these things. Economic failure, okay. And just as there are other signs in the heaven of the man-child, so there is of the dragon. The Egyptians wrote that during the exodus into the wilderness, the destroyer, a fiery dragon, also known as Nibiru, Planet X, was seen in the heavens. And when we look to the heavens in this time, we may see another dragon in the sky with terrible effects, as it was in the Exodus. Exodus chapter 12 is descriptive of what he wanted to make known concerning the Jews and how they had a Passover concerning these judgments and so on and so forth. But the Egyptians and later the Celts wrote a lot about this time, about what happened. It's very interesting. I'm not putting it on the level with the Bible. It's not. It's more like on the level of a history book. Is it all right? No, it's not all right. But I've read it, and there's a lot of confirmation of what we see in the Bible, including a great respect for the Hebrews' God. This is what appears to be happening, and time will tell. The Nemesis mini-star system, including Nibiru, Planet X, appears to be within months of being overhead. Nemesis seems to have been seen and photographed from many places of the world to be headed towards perihelion, which is its closest point to the sun. It doesn't appear to be there yet, but it's certainly headed that way. It is above the ecliptic plane of our solar system, so we can generally see it over the sun, especially in the morning and in the evening, if they haven't chemtrailed it so much that you can't tell. It's not quite as bright as the sun, so the sun would overwhelm it, you know, any other part of the day. So, and due to the brilliance of the sun, it being less brilliant, it is seen at, like I said, mornings and evenings. It's generally over the sun, because it's probably because of our position. And it's, by the way, it's over, but it's on the far side of the sun, arching. You know, it comes through the ecliptic at an angle, goes up over the sun, curves around, it comes back towards the earth. And of course, when it's behind the sun, its light is able to be seen as a reflection of the sun. When it comes on this side of the sun, not so much. But then it does have a light of its own, and when it gets close enough, you can see it. But it's very dim to be seen in space, especially with the very bright sun in front of it. Okay. Normally, it takes infrared cameras to see it until it gets close. It's headed towards us, picking up speed all the time in a centrifugal sling effect. It is taking on a blue hue. Marshall Masters explains that when going away from us, its light waves are expanding and so have a red hue. In other words, when it comes by, when it passes, it's the planet of the crossing, and when it passes, you can see its side and you can see it as it leaves. You know, that's a red hue. As the ancient Hopi Indian prophecy of the red kachina. And when coming towards us, its light waves are compacting, so have a blue hue, as the ancient Hopi Indian prophecy of the blue kachina. And we just happened to have a picture of it, some real good friends of ours, Denny and Debbie Finsky, took pictures of it. I think they took three pictures, and then they called their son in another city about a half hour away, and he also took pictures of it. And they said they moved the phones around to see that these images were not camera aberrations, and they also did not take them through a window, which could reflect the image. But they took these photos at 6:15 p.m. In Waterman, Illinois. Then they took them again here when they came to visit us. And guess what? They're still there. Their position has moved a little bit. Photo one looks like the winged Nibiru. And Denny made this with his older LG phone camera, taken on 4/23 at 6:39 p.m. And photo number two looks like Nemesis and Nibiru above the sun, which we believe is heading towards perihelion. All this, we're questioning all of this, and we're asking all the questions to make sure we're not getting confused. And we're not absolutely positively saying that this is it, but I've never seen anything up there like that before, except in pictures of what people thought was Nibiru, right? So you're looking at the Nemesis, which is it's bright. It's not as bright as the sun, but it's bright. It's a star of some kind. And then there's Nibiru to the left of it, that which we think is Nibiru, which is blue. Which means it's coming towards us. And, of course, if it's going towards perihelion, coming from behind the sun to go over the sun, that's its closest point, you know, perihelion is. Then it's still coming towards us, right? Then they had photo number three. We'll post all this on the site, by the way, of what we think could be Nemesis and Nibiru side by side, enlarged from photo number two. And photos two and three were taken with an iPhone 5 on 4/22 at 6:15 p.m. And they look good to me, but I'm not an expert, right? So we began to try to tear this thing down, you know, because it could be this, it could be that. Once you get all these points out of the way, then maybe you have something, right? Well, Greg Moser pointed out that this possibly lines up with Mars and the Pleiades, according to his software, in the direction, but it doesn't give you the depth. You know, it just gives you the direction. So we're not sure why Mars would be blue, since it's always red. So it may not be Mars. It may be something that's on this side of Mars, right? And blue could mean that it's coming towards us. But Mars is not. And the Pleiades is a very irregular-shaped group of stars, but this star that could be Nemesis, even when enlarged, is round, and it's clear, and it's brilliant. Stan Patton is an expert on space photos, which he analyzed for NASA. That was his job. He said, quote, Mars is not that big relative to other objects seen from Earth, such as the Sun. I'm not really judging it from the image of the Sun in this photo because you really can't see the Sun. It's too washed out. In other words, all the chemtrails kind of blurred it a little bit, you know. You know how it is nowadays. You don't get to see the Sun. But I'm judging it from the other aspects in the photo, such as the trees. That's right. They were, you know, standing on the Earth. There was trees in the photograph. You know, they show that the camera has a wide field of view compared to a telescope, so that any image of one of the planets would be really small, like a star, just as it would appear to the naked eye. Well, this is not that. This is much bigger than that. Okay. He said most cameras have coated optics that could make a reflection appear blue or some other color. But the older cameras, according to Marshall Masters, don't do that. And these were both older cameras. So, anyway. So, Mars and the Pleiades could be far behind these objects. And these objects are probably still behind the Sun, so if they come parallel with the Sun, they could even be bigger. Well, let me say, they will be bigger. That's wiser to say that. We're not absolutely sure this is Nemesis and Nibiru, but we are watching them. They would, of course, get bigger as they came this way, if that's true. I've never seen anything that big out there. Compared to the Sun, it's still very miniature, but, I mean, it's big. I'm used to looking up at stars and things like that, and even comets that we've had up there going around the Sun, I've never seen them that big. So, and Marshall Masters suggested that we use videos instead of stills, so we'll try that next. What year and what day is my question. A prophecy of 10 jubilees has revealed that 2017 is the year of the Messiah's return and the dragon of Planet X Nibiru's appearance. Let me read you a little bit of that. There's a summary there that I'm going to share with you. In the year 1217, an ancient Jewish rabbi named Samuel had a vision that outlined history from 1217 to 2017. A jubilee occurs every 50 years. He said that in his vision, Elijah in heaven told him to add 6 jubilees, that's 300 years, from 1217, and the world would arrive at the year 1517. And that the Turks would take Jerusalem, which they did. 8 jubilees later, or 400 years, we would arrive at the year 1917. The British would take Jerusalem and set the Jews free. This also happened on schedule. Sounds like a good prophecy, doesn't it? It happened to the day. Very good prophecy. British general flies a plane over Jerusalem, and the Turks took this as an omen. They believed this was a sign from God and fled back to Turkey without firing a single bullet. I think it was more than one plane, if I'm not mistaken, but I'm just reading you this recording here. One jubilee later, 1967, the Six-Day War would occur, and the Jews overtook Jerusalem. And they did. So far, the prophecy was dead on. They did. One jubilee later in 2017 would be the time when the day of the Lord commences. This means the book of the Revelation is opened and unsealed. It happens this fall. Planet X is an instrument of judgment. The dates and times are all in my book. This is the writer of this, and his name is David Mead. Okay? And I'm not sure, but I think the day of the Lord should have been tribulation. So there's little time to spare, and the clock is ticking, he says. So I thought that was neat. Also, I want to share that we have discussed the day of September 24th for years as a possible day for the passing of the dragon and the shaking of the earth because of Haggai's prophecy. According to the sign in the heavens, the birth of the man-child is the day before this, September 23rd, when the dragon is at Virgo's feet awaiting to destroy the man-child and then the woman in the wilderness. Okay, so the day after the man-child is birthed, the dragon is, of course, attempting to destroy him. Eve Brass said, I asked the Father to talk with me on Wednesday, August the 31st, 2016. And Father spoke to me and said, I am coming very soon. We had another revelation, by the way, today that was a woman who had no knowledge of all this. She kept hearing the Lord is coming. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Okay, so, and she asked the question, and we explained to her, Pam Orr explained to her, the meaning of an epiphany and a parousia. The physical coming, the parousia, and the first coming is the epiphany, which is a shining forth from the first fruits, the man-child. A shining forth of the Word and the Spirit from the man-child company. Jesus said that he that receives you receives me. Meaning his plan was Christ in you, the hope of glory. He wants to come in you before he comes for you, because no one hath ascended into heaven but he that descended out of heaven. That's Jesus, right? So, in answer to her question, Father said, I am your king, and my kingdom is not of this world. I want your focus to be on me continually and on the things that promote my kingdom. How else will you be used as a vessel of honor for me? Set your mind and your heart on your priesthood and not on the happenings around you. My sovereignty will prepare the way where there is no way. My divine intervention will direct the steps of men. Be not anxious or distracted by the plans of the enemy that he's making, for what comes is my decree. Father said, I am making a level way for you to enter the wilderness. Of course, that's John the Baptist, right? The wilderness belongs to me also. I will be a cloud to you by day and a pillar of fire by night. So she said, I asked the Father for a verse or text for what he spoke to me, and received Haggai 2:11 on down. And I believe she received this by faith at random. I'll have to go back and check that, but I believe that's right. And that, just remember, this was written back on August 31st, 2016. So she received Haggai 2:11. Let me read that to you. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, ask now the priest concerning the law, saying, if one bear holy flesh in the skirt of his garment, and with his skirt do touch bread, or pottage, or wine, or oil, or any food, shall it become holy? And the priest answered and said, no. Then said Haggai, if one that is unclean by reason of a dead body, that's the old man is a dead man, right? And if you touch the dead man, that means you're not sanctified. You're not separated from the old man. That's what this parable is speaking about. If one that is unclean by reason of a dead body touch any of these, shall it be unclean? And the priest answered and said, it shall be unclean. So you don't want to be unclean when this judgment is coming, because there's going to be a Passover for those that are clean. And the unclean can only leaven the others, that's all. The answer Haggai, then answered Haggai and said, so is this people, and so is this nation before me, says the Lord, and so is every work of their hands. Well, let me say that Christianity is in just this shape. It's not in the shape of the bride at all. It's not in the shape of the man-child at all. It's not the first fruits. It's not the second fruits. Okay? And the kingdom that it's built is its own kingdom. And that which they offer is unclean. And now I pray you consider from this day and backward before a stone was laid in the temple of the Lord. Okay, so this is the beginning of the temple. As the temple can only be made by Jesus Christ, and it is Jesus Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory, right? Through all that time, when one came to a heap of 20 measures, there were but 10. And when one came to a wine vat to draw out 50 vessels, there were but 20. I smote you with blasting and mildew and with the hail in all the works of your hands. Yet you turned not to me, says the Lord. This is true. The church is far from the Lord. Consider, I pray you, from this day and backward, from the 24th day, that's the 24th of the 9th month, which is 9/24, the day after, right, the man-child is birthed from the womb of Virgo. And, of course, this is a Hebrew day, but since the Gentile church is grafted into the olive tree of those circumcised in heart, remember who a Jew is? The one circumcised in heart, not the one circumcised in flesh. Sorry for you folks out there, don't believe that. But this is the truth, and this is why God wrote the scriptures in this form. So, since the church is grafted into the olive tree, and God can use an English date or day to be applicable here. God is not beyond doing that. And again, for years we've thought this was a possibility. We never knew what year it was, but we believe it's this year now, because of signs that we've seen received since then. Since the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid. Okay, 9/24 begins the building of the temple of God's people. You can't build God's people with religion. You can't build God's people with men's opinions. You can't build God's people with anything but the Word of God. The Word in you is Christ in you. Christ is the one that goes to heaven. That's God's temple. And God is going to start over. The Babylonians destroyed the temple. Is that not what's happened all around us? The Babylonian Christians, they've destroyed the temple, the true temple of God, because they don't know what the building blocks are made of. Is the seed yet in the barn? Yea, the vine and the fig tree and the pomegranate and the olive tree have not brought forth. From this day will I bless you. From what day? 9/24. Of course, that's what the man-child is coming to do, is bless the church, judge the world, judge the worldly church, etc. And the word of the Lord came the second time unto Haggai in the 24th day of the month. There it is again. Saying, speak to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, saying, I will shake the heavens and the earth. So now, on this date, he's talking about shaking the heavens and the earth on 9/24. And that's due to the passing of the dragon, planet Nibiru. I will overthrow the throne of kingdoms. I will destroy the strength of the kingdoms of the nations. Nations will be devastated and their leaderships will fall. I will overthrow the chariots and those that ride in them. And the horses and their riders shall come down, every one by the sword of his brother. Now look, this is talking about the Red Sea destruction of Pharaoh and his army. When? Just before the wilderness, which is the tribulation. Wow. Okay. In that day, says the Lord of hosts, I will take thee, Zerubbabel, my servant, the son of Shealtiel, says the Lord, and I will make thee as a signet or a sign, for I have chosen thee, says the Lord of hosts. Zerubbabel means born from Babylon. He was the first fruits leadership to come out from among them and to lead the rebuilding of the temple of God's people. Pretty neat, huh? It all fits together, doesn't it? I think God's telling us something. Well, notice that 924 is the great shaking. And it's due to the dragon Nibiru's passing. Remember the dragon? On 9:23 and 24, where is he? He's at the foot waiting to destroy the man-child. He's going to attempt to do it. He's been attempting to do it, but this is the final fulfillment of it. And it is the coming of the man-child and a change of fortunes. He said, but from this day I will bless you to God's people as they go into the wilderness. They said they couldn't serve God in Egypt. I had to go into the wilderness to serve God. And it's all coming soon. And we need to be ready. In the beginning of this, text that I just read, I'll go back and read it. Haggai 2:7. And I will shake all nations. And the precious, or the desire, of all nations shall come. Things wasn't in the original. Who is the desired of God out of all nations? It's Jesus, isn't it? Yes. And Jesus is coming, manifested in the man-child, typed by Zerubbabel, born from Babylon, the first fruits leadership born from Babylon, right? In this chapter, how awesome this all fits together. And I will fill this house with glory. Who is the glory? Jesus Christ in you. 2 Corinthians 3:18. We all with an unveiled face behold as in a mirror the glory of the Lord and are transformed into that same image from glory to glory. He's going to fill his house, which is his people, with his glory, which is himself. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. Well, below in a dream, those in the king's house had access to the gold, silver, and gems. And that's good. Verse 9. The latter glory of this house shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. Yes. You think about the former reign and the latter reign. The former reign was not as great as the latter reign. This is going to be a worldwide movement of greater works than these shall you do, because I go to the Father. Says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, says the Lord of hosts, in the 24th day of the 9th month. How many times does he have to say it? Why does he keep repeating it? Is there something there? I believe so. In the 2nd year of Darius came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet. Amen. And also Terry McGinley received back then, when Eve received her revelation, Nehemiah 9 and 1. Now on the 24th day of this month, which is now September, the sons of Israel assembled with fasting in sackcloth and with dirt upon them. Isn't that something? Oh, gosh. I'd say the Lord's saying something about that date. It's going to be either a sign that happens right there, or it's going to be a sign that's going to be pointing to something that's about to happen, but I'm convinced it's going to happen in 2017. And this shaking of all nations, think about this, shaking, when does that ever happen in your lifetime? Well, it's only going to happen one more time. Let me point this out. The shaking of all nations happens one day after the birth of the man-child in our sign in the heavens. It's only to happen once more since the time Paul wrote Hebrews, because there he compared this to the burning mountain that shook Israel. Let me read this, and you'll see that from that time until this, that which has not happened, all nations hasn't been shaken, But he says it's going to happen. Okay. Hebrews 12 and 18. For you're not coming to a mount that might be touched and that burned with fire and unto blackness and darkness and tempest. What does that sound like? Yeah. I mean, if you just read the description of what the Egyptians went through, they tell you all of this. Okay. And the sound of a trumpet. Well, we're coming to a trumpet. The first trump. Remember? When does it happen? Well, at the time the man-child's born. Isn't that something? And the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that no word more should be spoken unto them. For they could not endure that which was enjoined. If even a beast touch the mountain, it shall be stoned. And so fearful was the appearance that Moses, who was a type of the man-child, said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But you are coming to Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. No, not an earthly Jerusalem. There is no heavenly, there is no earthly Jerusalem that's holy. It's totally corrupt. Okay? The heavenly Jerusalem. And to the innumerable hosts of angels. So Zion, the bride, is the heavenly Jerusalem. We're not building an earthly kingdom. We're building a heavenly kingdom on earth. To the general assembly and church of the firstborn, who are enrolled in heaven. So they're not in heaven. They're enrolled there. And to God, the judge of all. And to the spirits of just men made perfect. And to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant. And to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better than that of Abel. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escaped not when they refused him that warned them on earth, how much more shall not we escape who turn away from him that warneth from heaven? So we're seeing here a prophecy where he is warning us from heaven about a shaking one more time between Hebrews and the end, a great shaking of the whole earth. And then he compares it, whose voice then shook the earth. Whose voice then shook the earth. So he's comparing this with the next shaking by the dragon. Actually, it's by the Lord using the dragon, I should say. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more will I make to tremble not the earth only, but also the heaven. Well, my goodness, as this thing has passed through the heavens, it is shaken every globe out there. It's moved them off their course. It's perturbed them. It's tipped them on their axes. It's done these things. So we see that from this, once more the dragon will appear in our sky to shake all things. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken as things that have been made. In other words, everything physical is going to be shaken. So that those things which are not shaken may remain. Okay, well, the Egyptians knew the same thing that God said to Pharaoh, that he was going to judge them. They knew that the wicked were judged, that the wicked died. Maybe I'll get a chance to read some of that to you. It's very interesting what they said. They had a great respect for the Hebrews' God. They knew he was stronger than any of their gods. Right? They called the Hebrews, the Egyptians, by the way, in their writings, called the Hebrews their slaves. And of course they were. Just as they were slaves to the old man, the old life, but God had to bring them into the wilderness to have them learn to trust in him and his salvation. Well, it's fantastic to take that many people into a wilderness and teach them that God can supply there, which is exactly what he said he would do. And by the way, folks, if you read the Egyptians' writings about what happened when this thing came through before, you know that the world was made into a wilderness. It was devastation and destruction everywhere. There were stones out of heaven. There were red oxide falling in the waters, killing the fish, falling on the land, poisoning the land and the waters. There was devastation and destruction. A wilderness. So here we are coming to a wilderness. Another thing that happened in the wilderness, by the way, if you will remember, when the man-child, the first seal of Revelation chapter 6, is the white horse rider. In other words, he rides, but then the very next thing that happens is a world war. Guess what happened, according to the Egyptians, when this thing came through? It crazed everybody. People that were under the ground came out crazy as a loon. They all started fighting with each other, hated each other. There was not a organized war like you would see, for instance, between Russia and America, although that may happen too. It was just a constant war, a hatred, every man fighting for the needs. I mean, just think, the water was gone, the food was gone. Oh my goodness. And by the way, what is the next judgment? Revelation chapter 6, right? That's right. The economic situation crashed and the food was gone. So it's all fitting together. And the whole point of all this is so that those things that are not shaken may remain. And by the way, we're not to be shaken by any of these things. We have a Passover. They had a Passover. What was the Passover? The Passover was the judgment of the destroyer passed over them and smote the Egyptians. It judged the wicked. They said so themselves. It judged the wicked. The destroyer came. The dragon. They called it a red dragon, which is many similarities to what it looked like. They described it perfectly in their writings. Something wicked comes this way. And the things that will remain, of course, is think about those. I mean, everything was a wilderness. They told Pharaoh, don't you know Egypt is destroyed? But here they went out into a wilderness, but Egypt too was destroyed. Their crops were destroyed. Everything was destroyed. So what's going to happen in the world? Well, Revelation chapter 6, those seals are going to start opening from the time the man-child is born on. And some of those run parallel. So it's not like I'm going to go a year with the white horse rider and then comes the world war. No, it's not going to be that way. They're going to run parallel. The white horse rider, of course, comes first. But right after that, part of that judgment is a world war. Could it be due to the craziness that comes from this planet and the desperate need for water, clean water I'm talking about, and food? Well, sure it could. People are going to be fighting, just like nations are going to be fighting. And so he tells us that those things which are not shaken may remain. Heavenly things are not going to be shaken. Physical things are going to be shaken. And he goes on to say, wherefore receive a kingdom that cannot be shaken. What is that? The kingdom of God on earth. When the Lord took them out into the wilderness, guess what? They got fed. They got water coming out of the rock. Why did they need it coming out of the rock? Well, probably because there wasn't any water out there that was clean. Remember Marah? Uh-huh. They went into the wilderness and there was Marah, poisoned water. Whoa. Where did that come from? Well, from that crazy planet. It's been repeated through history. We've been told. Ancient historians have wrote about it and so on. I'll share some of those with you one day, hopefully. So receive a kingdom that cannot be shaken. What is that? That's that heavenly Jerusalem. The mount that we have come to. Not the mountain that can't be touched because it's judged, which is the mountain of the world we just read about, right? So let us receive a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Listen, if God Almighty told you, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe you receive them and you shall have them, you'd say, well, now that's a kingdom can't be shaken because everything I need is going to be given. Well, yeah. And he did say that, didn't he? Well, still people aren't believing it. But I'm telling you, the grace is coming for people to believe it, because when you got to believe it, because the physical things have been shaken and are gone and are not, you know, like the water and the food and the economy and all these things. We got our own economy. Give and it'll be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. Right? We got our own economy. We need to get out of the world and into the kingdom of God on earth. He said, receive a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Let us have grace whereby we may offer service well-pleasing to God. It's impossible to be well-pleasing unto God without faith, the Bible says, with this double-mindedness. You know, people now, they trust in everything in the world. And, you know, they go to doctors when the Bible says you're already healed. They go to bankers when God said he would supply your every need. They always go to man. It's the easy way. There's no test and no trial in it. But that's not service well-pleasing unto God. The righteous shall live from faith. And if he shrink back, my soul has no pleasure in him. That's what he said. So this, why is God bringing people into the wilderness? Because you can't lean upon those things in the wilderness. They're not there. They're not there. So, in this way, walking by faith in a wilderness where there's no supply from man or man's methods or the physical things of the world, because they've all been shaken, there God will supply the needs of his people. Have you wondered why the Christians would all gather together and go into the wilderness? Well, because they're going to see the man-child doing the same miracles of provision that Jesus did. They're going to see the man-child healing the sick, and there's going to be lots of sick people. You can't even breathe that red oxide dust, according to history. It chokes men. It kills men just from breathing it. And the rocks falling from the sky is the tail of Planet X as it passes through, and our planet goes right through the tail for one solid hour. And in that tail are asteroids and all kinds of trash, all kinds of junk. Right behind it is, or I'm saying, major asteroids. I think we'd probably gracefully miss that because they would destroy the Earth. But anyway... For God is a consuming fire. So, oh my goodness. So here it is. Shaking the earth and burning it up. I don't know if y'all seen some of the revelations on our site of our United States was burned up and there was no water. And people were crying because they had no economy, they had no water, they had no... You know, their babies were hungry, et cetera, et cetera. We got a revelation like that on the side. And I wonder what that could be, you know. Well, I can see from this what it could be. And we know that God is coming to judge the earth. He's going to do it through the dragon. How could the dragon even exist? They're waiting for the man-child to be born unless God permitted it, right? Well, the dragon can't take out the man-child, and it can't take out the woman, those that are bearing fruit. It can take the people that are dragging around and not keeping up. You know what the Egyptians said? When Pharaoh entered in to the parting of the Red Sea, they started killing the Israelites who were at the back of the pack. And it was about that time that the Lord started releasing the water to take him out, him and his chariots and his army. The people at the back of the pack were getting taken down. So, he's coming to judge the earth through the dragon, Planet X, and its binary sun, Nemesis. Let me say this. There may be more than one planet like this. I've looked at two different aspects, and there may be more than one. I'm just going to say that, okay? I can't prove it, but I've seen some very good evidence that there's something else that comes more often than the 3,600 years. And that could mean something totally different because it comes from a different part of the system. So I'm just saying that's a possibility. Remember Mother Shipton's prophecy of the fiery dragon to come? She said the fiery dragon will cross the sky 6 times before this earth shall die. Meaning, of course, the dragon is seen crossing 6 rotations of the earth, or 6 days as the earth rotates. They're going to be facing that dragon every time they come around. Mankind will tremble and frightened be, for the 6th herald is this prophecy. For 7 days and 7 nights, man will watch this awesome sight. The tides will rise beyond their ken. Why is that? Well, the earth tips on its axis as the rotation slows and the waters invade all the coasts, because there's 700 feet more water at the equator, and when you slow the earth down, that water rushes north and south and covers things it's never covered, and it uncovers things that have never been seen. Well, at least not for thousands of years. To bite away the shores, and then, so the water's going to bite away the shores, it's going to take the shores, and then the mountains will begin to roar, and earthquakes split the plain to shore. Wow. Well, I'm saying that there's some judgment that's going to begin to judge the wicked. The ones that will get completely out of this judgment, as we've taught and shown from many scriptures, is the bride. She's in the king's house. She's going to escape this whole thing, and she is holy. She's a spotless, blemishless bride. By the way, when the man-child is birthed out of Virgo's womb, the bride's been chosen. And those are the people that are going to escape the judgment. They're going to escape the judgment. She's already been chosen. She's going to be protected from all the judgments of the dragon. Let me say this. These judgments are going to begin before September the 23rd. Even as that thing starts leaving the sun and coming towards the earth, I believe it's Ed Dames who handled the remote viewing group in the government, who said that when that thing leaves, and he says it's going to happen this fall too, that there's going to be a kill shot. He calls it a kill shot. And that is a very large bolt of lightning, such as probably carved out the Grand Canyon. No, it wasn't millions of years. So how did the Grand Canyon come to be? Not in any thousands of years, that's for sure. No, they believe that this kill shot is what carved out the Grand Canyon. It's like a lightning bolt, a huge lightning bolt, a space lightning bolt that goes between planet X and Earth. And, you know, of course, that very well could set Earth back into the Dark Ages as far as electricity is concerned. And the economy that we have seen, we'll never see again before the Lord comes. And God's people need to get out, come out from among them and be separate and enter into the kingdom of God, which is ruled by the Word of God. If you obey the Word of God, if you, for instance, don't store up your treasures on earth where moth and rust and thieves break through and steal, you're automatically put into a form of wilderness there because you can't trust in man. That's why they went into the wilderness. They couldn't go to the flesh pots anymore. They didn't have the water of Egypt anymore. They didn't have all that support anymore. And so they had to trust in God. They were going into a place that you would die if you didn't trust in God. And guess what? They did. They did die. Many of them died in the wilderness, and only their children entered into the promised land. Joshua and Caleb were overcomers, and they did not. They went all the way to the promised land in their flesh, right? Praise be to God. So, these things are coming, and I believe the tribulation is going to be upon us, and I believe the covenant is going to be made under cover of catastrophes like they love to do. They love to push legislation through and things through when everybody's distracted with other things. And they know this is coming, by the way. So look out there. The nations are preparing for war. Why are the nations preparing for war? Because their leaders know that this thing is coming. And they don't want to be on the bottom of the heap. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask, Lord, for your mighty grace to be poured out upon us, to give us wisdom to now cease from trusting in this world and start trusting in you and repent of any kind of unforgiveness and criticism against other people. Give the grace that we want for ourselves, because everything we sow, we reap, as you say. So we give grace to others, and we get grace from you. Lord, we're asking for this. We're asking for perfect forgiveness for all who have wronged us. We're asking for power to overcome sin, which, of course, this wonderful latter rain will be powerful, powerful to overcome sin. People will walk as Jesus walked. They will put on the Lord Jesus Christ. They will not make provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Thank you so much, Father, for this day, and we bless it in Jesus' name.